Book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk this evening, and chapter 1 once again. I want to tell you something tonight by way of introduction, that when it comes to politics, I don't talk about it a whole great deal, but when it comes to politics and when it comes to my position or my stand on various issues facing the U.S. I don't get involved in your politics, that's your business. But when it comes to issues facing the U.S. and all of that, I just want you to know that I am a wholehearted conservative. I am very conservative. And the reason I tell you that is so that it will help you to understand what I'm fixing to say next. And the thing that I'm ready to say next is actually quite a strange thing to hear from someone who is a conservative, but I'm going to say it anyway. Are you ready? You may want to write this down. I don't like Fox News. Now let me tell you why. I appreciate their conservative positions, and I agree with that completely. I know they claim to be fair and balanced. You've heard that, right? They claim to be fair and balanced, and I appreciate the fact that when they are discussing issues, they do. They bring people from both sides in for to talk and to give their views and all of that. But the fact is, the reason I do not like Fox News, and I can hardly stand to watch it. Usually the only time I watch it is when we have guests at our house and they want to watch it. So then I'm stuck. But anyway, I don't really like to watch it. And the reason why is because in their interviews, they are, how can I say this? They are rude. And they are disrespectful. They're rude and they're disrespectful. Illustrate what I mean. They'll have someone come in who is of an opposite viewpoint, and they will ask a question. And then before they even let the person answer the question, they are already interrupting them, and they never let the person talk. And it gets to the point after a while, I start pulling for the bad guy. I feel sorry for him. The truth is, you see, when you're doing an interview, give you a little class on communication here. When you're doing an interview, the ethical thing to do is ask your question and then keep your mouth shut while they give an answer, right? I mean, that's the ethical thing to do. That's the right thing to do. And the reason I mention all of that is because that's exactly what we're going to see in our text tonight. That's exactly the thing we're going to see in our text tonight. Over the past couple of weeks, we have seen how that Habakkuk was heartbroken when he saw the wickedness of his nation. In fact, you remember he was praying. He was praying that God would deal with the nation of Judah, that God would actually bring judgment so that his nation would turn from their sin and turn back to God so that God might be able to bless them as he had in days gone by. But you remember, God did not answer his prayer. In fact, it seemed like that God did not even care that Judah was going deeper and deeper into sin. But then there came the day when God did answer Habakkuk's prayer. You remember that. Came a day when God did answer Habakkuk's prayer, and to Habakkuk's startling surprise, the instrument that God was going to use to chastise his people was actually a nation that was far more wicked than they were. And so, first of all, Habakkuk is wondering, God, why aren't you doing something? And then when God began to do something, Habakkuk said, God, why are you doing it like this? And so we saw the communication last time. How that Habakkuk began to question God. He began to question God. Now you remember last time we asked the question, is that wrong? Is it wrong to question God? Is it wrong to question God? And of course, you remember my answer was no. Except unless the attitude is wrong. Now the reason I say that is because Habakkuk is questioning God, and yet nowhere in the book do we find that God ever rebuked him. God never corrected him for asking questions. God never did that. In fact, the reason for it was because number one, of Habakkuk's attitude. That was the first thing. And we saw that his attitude toward God was an attitude of faith and confidence. It was an attitude of faith and confidence. He had faith, he had confidence in the fact that God is eternal, you remember. And we talked about that. He had faith and confidence in the fact that God is holy. Everything God does, it is marked with holiness and righteousness. God is faithful. God is sovereign. He's in control of everything, like Brother David was talking about tonight. And not only that, God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. There is nothing that our God cannot do. Nothing. And that was Habakkuk's attitude toward God. And you remember Habakkuk summed up his attitude of faith. He summed up his attitude there in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Here's what he said. He said, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." He was so convinced in the holiness and the purity of God. But then right after that great statement of faith, we immediately then begin to see Habakkuk's questions. We began to see his questions. And of course, the questions basically dealt with two things. First of all, God's dealings with Judah. How could a holy God, how could a just God allow his chosen people to be carried away into captivity by people who were more wicked than they are? That was his question. But not only did he have a question about God's dealings with Judah, he also had a question about God's blessings on the people, on the Chaldeans, the people of Babylon. In other words, how could a God who is holy and just allow such a wicked nation to prosper and to have such wealth and such power? How could God do that? How could God? And so after asking the questions, he's asked the questions, okay? Now he's going to do the proper thing. He's going to do the proper thing. He's not going to continue to rant, and he's not going to continue to rave against God. Rather, he's going to sit back and he's going to wait for God to answer. See, that's how you do an interview, right? He's already presented his questions. Now he's going to sit. He's going to wait for the answer. He's going to wait for the answer. So there's two things that I want us to notice as we go through this together. First of all, let's notice number one, Habakkuk's patience. Let's notice his patience. The prophet had made his complaints in the preceding chapter. Now he's waiting for God's answer. I like what F.B. Meyer said. F.B. Meyer, he said this. He said, "Too often we ask questions and do not wait for replies. We are in too great a hurry to take time and trouble for climbing the watchtower and awaiting the divine reply." But that was not true of Habakkuk. That was not true of Habakkuk. Notice three things that we find in our text concerning Habakkuk's patience as he waited to hear from how the Lord God was going to answer the questions that he raised. First of all, I want you to notice Habakkuk determined that he would be faithful. He's going to be faithful. Even though he doesn't understand what God is doing and he doesn't understand why God is doing it the way that he is, Habakkuk's determination was he was going to be faithful. And his faithfulness is seen in a couple of ways. First of all, he's going to be faithful to his calling. He's going to be faithful to his calling. Now, in Bible times, a watchman was responsible to stand on the walls of a city, and they would look out over the landscape surrounding the city, and their job was to watch for any approaching enemies. And when they saw enemies approaching, it was the watchman's job to cry out a warning to those who were inside the city. And if they were not faithful to their calling, their hands then would figuratively, their hands would be stained with the blood of the people who had died because they were not a faithful watchman, you see. They were not a faithful watchman. And the same thing was true spiritually for the prophets. In fact, the Lord God said in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, God said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." In other words, Ezekiel, just like a watchman, was to watch for the spiritual enemies, and he was to warn the people. He was to warn the people of those things. Now, with that in mind, notice what Habakkuk did in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 1. Here's his determination. I will. You see that? In other words, he's making up his mind right here. He's not going to waver. He's not one day hot, one day... No, I will. I will stand upon my watch. In other words, even though the Lord God was working in a way that Habakkuk could not understand, he determined that he was not going to turn from God's call in his life. He said, "I will stand here. I will stand on my watch." Habakkuk was faithful to his calling. Not only that, he was faithful to his place. Faithful to his place. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower." In other words, in the watchtower where God has put me, that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to be faithful right there. I'm going to be faithful to my calling, and I'm going to be faithful to my place. Not only did he determine that he was going to be faithful, notice another thing. He also determined that he would be watchful. He determined that he would be watchful. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, "I will," and then he says this, "I will watch to see what he will say unto me." Now, true to his profession, Habakkuk was willing to wait for God's message. That's what a prophet did. A prophet would receive a message from God, then he would relay that to the people of God. And so he was going to be true to his calling. He was going to be true to his profession. He was going to wait for God's message instead of pronouncing his own message. But then I want you to notice that at the same time, he was also going to be thoughtful. He's going to be thoughtful. In other words, while he's waiting for God's answer, while he's watching for God's answer to the questions that he has raised, he was also going to be thoughtfully considering. Look at it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. "What I shall answer when I am reproved." Remember, I asked you the question, is it wrong to question God? And I said no, because God never rebuked Habakkuk for questioning God. But in chapter 2, Habakkuk wasn't sure whether he was going to be rebuked or not. And so while he is waiting faithfully in his place and faithfully doing his duty, Habakkuk is contemplating, he's thoughtfully thinking about how he will respond to God if God comes down on him for questioning him. In fact, the Hebrew word translated reproved here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it actually carries the same idea we find in 2 Kings 19, verse 3, where it is translated rebuked. He is rebuked because of his question. And so therefore Habakkuk was thoughtfully thinking how he might respond to God if he was rebuked by God for asking the question. And so we see, first of all, we see Habakkuk in his patience as he is waiting for God's answer. But then I want you to notice Habakkuk's answer. Habakkuk's answer. And now as God begins to speak to Habakkuk, there's a couple of things that God says to him. First of all, there is a command. There was a command that was given. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, now God's going to give him an answer. Here's the command. I want you to write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. In other words, the Lord God's answer to Habakkuk's question were to be written in large letters. They were to be written in plain letters. Sort of like when you fill out the immigration card, you know, and it says, you know, don't write like you normally do where nobody can read it. They want you to write in block letters, right? You know what that means? That means make it large, make it plain. Make it large, and that's exactly what God is telling Habakkuk here. He says, I want you to make it plain, I want you to make it large, so that a man might ease. And I've heard some preachers say, and maybe they're right, I don't think they are, but you know, that somebody could actually run by and read it while they're running. Well, I don't think that's exactly the idea here. What I think it is, God wanted it to be written in such a way that a man could easily run through it as he's reading. In other words, he can read quickly, he can scan, or we might call it he can speed read, and still be able to see the whole message that God has for him. And so he was to make a writing. He was commanded to write and to make it plain. But then I want you also notice this. There was a promise that was given. Not only does God give Habakkuk a command, but he also gives a promise. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I came across this one fellow named Dennis Davidson. I like what he said about this. He said, every prophetic revelation demands a certain degree of patience. Every prophetic revelation demands a certain degree of patience. And the reason for that is simply because God's timetable and God's agenda is always different from ours, isn't it? It's always different from ours. You see, Habakkuk wanted God to do something now. In other words, Habakkuk was like the fellow I heard about one time who prayed, oh God, give me patience and give it to me right now. You know, that's kind of how we are. That's kind of how we are. But the Lord God told Habakkuk that he would have to wait a while. The promise is going to come, but you're going to have to wait a while before you will see all of the wrongs made right. You're going to have to wait a while. And that time of delay was a trying experience for Habakkuk. Someone has very well noted, the hardest thing you ever have to do in your Christian life, the hardest thing you ever have to do in your Christian life is to wait on God. Do you know that? That's the hardest thing. Because we want Him to do something. We want it right now. We don't want it now. We want it yesterday, right? And so that was Habakkuk. And so God declared that His work would be done in His time. His work would be done in His time. It was a time that had been appointed by His divine and sovereign design, an appointment set by His purpose. And so the promise was that God's appointed time would certainly come, and when it comes, it will come without any delay. In other words, once it starts to come, look out, because it's going to come just like gangbusters, okay? Nothing is going to hinder it. And so now God has given Habakkuk his answer. Habakkuk asked his questions. He waited. Now God has answered. And then we see number three, Habakkuk's choice. Habakkuk's choice. In other words, now Habakkuk is faced with making a decision. And the decision that Habakkuk is faced with is, how am I going to respond to God's answer? Now, how am I going to respond to it? Say, how am I going to respond to the answer God has given me? And there are two possible ways that he could respond to God's answer. By the way, same two ways you and I can respond when God begins to show us things in our life that don't go exactly according to our timetable or according to our agenda. Now, first of all, Habakkuk could respond with pride. He could respond with an attitude of pride. Behold, verse number 4 of chapter 2 says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." Now we saw before how that the Chaldeans were a people who were filled with pride. Remember that back in chapter 1, verse 7 down to verse number 11? In other words, we saw, as one writer has noted, that the Chaldeans were like a bloated toad, and they were an arrogant people who hopped along toward their own destruction. That's how one writer has described them. But the sad fact is that many times that same kind of proud and arrogant attitude can be seen in God's people. It can be seen in us. Same kind of attitude. When God doesn't work things exactly the way we think He ought to, and when He doesn't do it exactly according to the schedule that we have outlined for Him, sometimes we can respond in the same way, with an attitude of pride. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14 to verse number 15, God said this. He said, "If ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments," verse 15, "and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments." In other words, if you're not willing to obey me, follow me, trust me in everything, if you're not willing to do that, then here's what God said down in verse 19. "I will break the pride of your power. I'll break the pride of your power." Those whose hearts are filled with pride are always going to ignore the commands of God. Those whose hearts are filled with pride will always think that somehow they know better than God what needs to be done and when it needs to be done. See, those who are proud have that attitude of pride that causes them to somehow think that they can successfully argue against God, or that they can successfully pray so wonderfully that they will change God's mind about something. That's just pride. That's just pride. And so because of a proud heart, and because of the fact that a proud heart is an abomination to God, God declared that such a man's soul is not really right. It's not really right. And so Habakkuk could respond with pride, or he could respond with humility. Verse number 4, "But the just shall live by faith." That's a powerful statement. In fact, it's quoted in a couple of times over in the New Testament. "The just shall live by his faith." In other words, the just man is the man who, instead of arguing with God, he lives with an absolute confidence in the fact that is so wonderfully stated in Psalm 145 and verse number 17. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." In other words, the man who lives by faith is the man who lives with a full confidence. Get this. The man who lives by faith doesn't argue with God, doesn't falsely accuse God, But he lives and he faces every situation in life with the full confidence that God does all things well. And he makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. Even though Habakkuk's choices, his choice is not clearly stated. Was he proud or was he humble? Well, the Bible doesn't come right out and say. But it is clear that he made the right choice. And the reason I say that is because, as we're going to see next time when we come to verse number 5, we find that the Lord God continues denouncing the wickedness. Not the wickedness of the prophet who asked the question, but he's denouncing the wickedness of the Chaldeans. He's denouncing the wickedness of the Chaldeans. Now, as we bring this to a close, I want us to go back to the image of the watchman. I want us to go back to the image of the watchman that we saw at the beginning, and I want us to draw an application that applies to us. You see, just like Habakkuk was called and dedicated to the work of being a watchman for the nation of Israel, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to be spiritual watchmen. We're called to be spiritual watchmen for this world. You see, we know the danger that is coming. We know that all of those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior are going to be forever lost, right? We know that. We know that those who do not know Christ as their Savior are going to be forever damned in an eternal place where there is fire and torment and suffering that goes on forever and forever and forever. We know that. And we are called to be a watchman, warning them, you see. We're also to be a watchman. We're also to be a watchman for those who do not put God first in their life. And we are to warn them, even though they are believers, that if they do not put God first, they will certainly suffer loss. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, they're not going to lose their salvation. No. They won't lose their salvation, but they will suffer the loss of rewards. They'll suffer the loss of their rewards. And since we know these things, therefore, we ought to be faithfully warning people. We ought to be faithfully warning men and women so that Satan will not be able to have victory in their lives and destroy them. That's what our mission is all about as a church. That's why we exist. If we're not involved in this, we ought to just lock the doors and go home and forget it. This is what we're about. This is our purpose. This is why God has put us here. And may the Lord Jesus, by the power of His Holy Spirit, help each member of our church to be able to honestly stand up and say with the Apostle Paul, may every one of us be able to say, just like the Apostle Paul said, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned. That means I have not put off. I have not failed. I have not delayed or procrastinated. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Question. What kind of watchmen are we? May God help us to be like Habakkuk. Faithful to our calling. Faithful to our place. Even though we may not understand what God is doing and why He's doing things the way He is, may God help us to just be faithful doing what He has called us to do. And be faithful to what He's called us to be.